the photon identification with the ATLAS detector. So events containing photons can be used to look for new physics, such as the standard model Higgs boson looking into photons. So here we have the inbound mass of the two photons after having applied all the selection cuts. So for the reducible background, irreducible background, and signal. And in order to see the signal over the background, we need a very good signal efficiency as well as a very good background rejection. We can also use photons to reconstruct high mass, such as the gravitons leaking into photons or technicolor particles. And we can also look for SUSY events. So here we have the distribution of the inbound mass of the two photons for the dye neutralino production and the Higgs production decaying in two neutralino. And each of these neutralino decays in one photon and one gravity node. So the final state of these events are dye photon plus missing energy. But the cross-section of these processes are very small, so compared to the QCD background. So here we have the cross-section of the jets production at the LHC, and here we have the cross-section of the standard model Higgs boson leaking in two photons. So to be able to see the signals over the huge background, we need a very good jet rejection. So the ATLAS detector was designed to identify the particle density with a very good background rejection. So here we have the beam axis. Around the beam axis here in red and yellow, we have the inner detector, which is used to measure the tracks coming from the charged particles. Around this inner detector, we have the electromagnetic carrier meter in gold, which is used to measure the energy of the electron and photons. Then in green, we have the hadronic carrier meter, which is used to measure the energy of the hadronic particles. Then at the end of the detector, we have the muon spectrometer in blue. And to measure the tracks of the muon, we use ultraviolet magnets here to curve the muons. So the electromagnetic calorimeter is a sampling calorimeter which uses liquid argon as the active detector medium. And because it has a very good intrinsic linear behavior, and it has a very good stability of the response over the time. And it also has a very good intrinsic radiation hardness. And we are using lead as the absorbers. And we have different parts of the electromagnetic calorimeter. So up to absolute rapidity equal to 1.375, we have the barrel electromagnetic calorimeter. Then for higher absolute rapidity here, we have the liquid argon electromagnetic NCAP. And then we can use the forward calorimeter. But we don't have any inner detector with deep pseudo rapidity, so we cannot distinguish an electron from a photon in that pseudo rapidity. So the main photon background in the ATLAS detector comes from the pi diode in two photons, the hadronic jet, which has a very huge cross section, and the electrons, because the electrons have approximately the same shower in the electromagnetic calorimeter. So the electromagnetic calorimeter has an accordion shape, absorbers and electrodes, in order to avoid any cracks in this file. And we can use a different sampling of the electromagnetic calorimeter to measure the shallow shape. And the very high granularity of the first sampling of the calorimeter allows us to reduce the contribution from the pi diode decaying in two photons. So here we have a simulation of the energy deposited per cell in the calorimeter coming from a gamma jet event to show the difference between a jet and a photon. So here we have an atomic jet, and here we have the photon. The one is just proportional to the energy deposited in the cell. So as you can see, the photon will just deposit energy in the electromagnetic calorimeter, and the jet will deposit energy in both calorimeters. Calorimeter, in the electromagnetic and hadronic calorimeter. So we can use that information to distinguish a jet from a photon. We can also use the width of the shower coming from those particles, because the width of the shower coming from the photon is much smaller than the width of the shower coming from the jet. So we can also use that information, and especially by measuring the energy around the cone, around the direction of the photon. So the shower shape variables are used to identify the photon using the different samplings of the electromagnetic calorimeter. We can also use the hadronic leakage in the hadronic calorimeter. And we can also use the isolation using a cone around the direction of the photon. So for the moment, ATLAS uses a cone-based method to identify the electron and photon. But we can also look at the log likelihood ratio-based and covariance matrix-based. So those methods have been developed, but will not be used in the early data, because we need to understand very well the detector before trusting the Monte Carlo. So here we have one of the examples of the variable used to identify the photon. So this is the hadronic leakage, which is the energy deposited in the hadronic calorimeter. And in red, we have the signal coming from real photon. And in black, we have the background coming from fake photon from hadronic jet. So here is the cut used in ATLAS to remove the QCD background. So we have approximately 10 different variables used in ATLAS to identify the photon. We can also look at those variables as a function of the pseudo rapidity, because due to the fact of the geometry of the detector, we don't have exactly the same response over the pseudo rapidity. So we develop cuts as a function of this angle. And we can look at the photon efficiency here for 500 GeV per electron decaying in two photons in the central part of the detector and in the end cap of the calorimeter. And we expect to have an efficiency higher than 80% after having applied all the photon identification cuts with isolation. We can also look at the rejection factor as a function of this PT of the fake photon. And we see that we expect to have a rejection factor up to 10 to 4 by applying those identification cuts plus isolation. One other main issue about the photon in the ATLAS detector is the convertic photon. Because a photon can convert into two electrons by crossing the inner detector. So here we have a picture showing the different type of photons we have in the ATLAS detector. So we can have here a real photon that will just deposit energy in the electromagnetic calorimeter without any tracks in the inner detector. But we can also have a photon that converts into one electron and one positron, and then we deposit the energy in the electromagnetic calorimeter. So here, the electromagnetic cluster is associated with two tracks in the inner detector. And these effects correspond to 57% of the Higgs to gamma gamma events, which contains at least one converted photon. And those converted photons can start the shower before the first layer of the electromagnetic calorimeter. So here we have the amount of material in front of the electromagnetic calorimeter as a function of the angle. And we see that we have a huge amount of material in that direction. So we remove, we call that a track region, and we remove this region in the photon analysis.
So most photons coming from a Higgs event convert?
No, it's just those events at 57 of those seven contains at least one converted photon. So it's approximately 30% of the photons that convert.
So it's not that a primary photon converts to something else. It's that like you have an electron and it gives photons, right?
No, here it's just a real photon from the Higgs, mm-hmm. and the electron by crossing the material will just produce E plus
yes.
minus. Yeah. So the electrons coming from the photon container will produce a trap in the inner detector. and we deposit the energy in the electromagnetic calorimeter. So to reconstruct a converted photon, we have to find the tracks coming from those electrons associated with one electromagnetic cluster. And we need to reconstruct the conversion vertex using the two tracks coming from the position and the electron. So to reconstruct the vertex, we have to take into account all the possible pairs of tracks with the opposing signs. And we apply some cuts to remove from background. So after having applied all of these cuts, we have an efficiency to reconstruct the vertex equal to 68%. But we can also have some single track conversion because the conversions are asymmetric energy, so most of the energy can be given to one of the electron positions. We can also have a conversion late in the inner detector, so in the third part of the inner detector, in the TRT. So in those cases, we have only one track is reconstructed. So after having tried to find two tracks back in the cuts, the remaining tracks are examined on an individual basis. But to be considered as a single track conversion, the first hit has to be beyond the pixel vertexing layer in order to remove the electron background, because the electron will deposit the hit in the first layer of the pixel detector. And the tracks should be electron-like using the TRT information, so to remove the pi ion production, the charged pi ion from the So here we have the efficiency to reconstruct the converted photon as a function of the conversion radius. So we just consider the double track conversion. We see that the efficiency drops dramatically with the high conversion radius. But if we take into account also the single track conversion, we see we have a very good photon efficiency for the converted photon. We can also use this information to map the detector material in the inner detector. So here it's the location of the inner detector material obtained from the true position of the simulated photon conversion in minimum bias events. So we can cross-check the geometry used in our simulation with the real geometry by using this information. So to conclude, I would say that the photon reconstruction is necessary for many signal researches. But due to the low cross-section of these processes, we need a very high photon efficiency with a very high background rejection. So the selection cuts were developed using Monte Carlo. But those methods could be improved by using multivariable methods. But we need to know very well the detector before trusting the Monte Carlo. Thank you.
So how much do you expect to improve the efficiency once you include other multivariate methods in the...
It should be a couple of percent because the efficiency is already quite high, so it's already 80%, but maybe we can improve the rejection, the background rejection. So the efficiency will not increase too much, but maybe we can improve the rejection of the background.
How much background does this open you up to, including the converted photons? I mean, by including converted photons, how much additional background? Is it a lot or is it not so much?
No, it's not so bad. In fact, by including the converted photon, we have better significance for the Higgs research than not considering those converted photons.
Yeah.
So that's really important to include them.
So signal committed.
Yes. And we don't have a huge electron contribution because the Z production is not so high, and we are looking for the mass of close to 120 GeV, so it's not close to the mass of the Z.
Any other questions?
Yeah,
let's thank the speaker. So out of break for lunch, it's right out there. There's a buffet you can just walk through and there's no vegetarian.